it was interesting just now to hear from a brother that he received in his flight 7 bread rolls offered to him. I was wondering, why 7? Because today we are going to speak of the sevens in John's Gospel. 7 is the number of perfection. 7 is the number of completion. And our brother and our sister received perfect blessings from above. We thank the Lord for that. Again, I'm going to take you through John's Gospel. You may be studying the Gospel chapter by chapter, but when you do so, as you enjoy the beauty of each tree, you may lose sight of the forest. And it's important that we know and see all the trees in perspective. So I'm taking you through now the forest trees. If possible, to go above these trees and see the forest, that we may not lose sight of the forest for the trees. Now, last week, I told you that John recorded the miracle of the 5,000 fed. And I told you that it was a single and singular miracle that was recorded by all the 4 evangelists. So, in that case, where would be the 7 unique miracles that he recorded in his gospel? Because actually, John recorded 8, leaving out this common miracle that was recorded by all the 4 evangelists, the feeding of the 5,000. And I asked you, and I gave you the homework, what is the 8th miracle? Well, an elder and a deacon did not do their miracle, homework. Because it was a miracle that they did not do their homework. Because immediately after I finished my ministry, one elder came to see me, Mr. Ang, is this the 8th miracle? And the deacon came, is this the 8th miracle? And another brother came, is this a miracle? I said, 2 of them were right, 1 of them was wrong. Today, we'll give you what the 8th miracle is. The 8th miracle was with regard to the fishermen who went fishing. And it's recorded for us in John 21, the last miracle in John's Gospel. Again, is it something of, by chance or coincidence, 7 fishermen went fishing. And these 7 fishermen, they fished all night in John chapter 21, verse 2 onwards. And they caught nothing when the Lord Jesus asked them. Now, I would like to develop on this miracle as I did for all the other 7 miracles last week. But I do not have much time. And there's so much that I need to pass over today. In fact, I have cut off 4 or 5 slides because I just don't have the time. So I will straight away today go over to what I need to do. So those of you who are interested, you can go to my website and you can get the notes for this miracle and what I will be talking about. Right? So with this, let me go straight into today's topic. The sevens in John's Gospel. Last week, we dealt with the 7 signs, Jesus' 7 signs, and they were as listed on the screen. You will remember, I drew your attention to one man, an international so-called Muslim evangelist, who went around challenging all Christians. Show me one verse that shows that Jesus Christ claimed himself to be God. Show me one verse in the scripture that he was worshipped. The 7 signs would definitely indicate that Jesus is God. And definitely, let me just, because you may not be turning to your Bible again after this, so I would like to take this opportunity to let you look at your Bible. And at the same time, I want you to see how Jesus Christ is God indeed. Let's look at the last chapter, or almost the last chapter in John's Gospel, John 20, which is our text for our theme. Chapter 20, verse 31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I want to point out that when John wrote that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he was not saying in any way that Jesus was the product of God, that Jesus was the offspring of God, that Jesus came from God as a product. But here he is saying Jesus as the Son, in opposition, in relation to God the Father. God the Son, God the Father. And he, in this gospel, is trying to prove that Jesus is indeed God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And chapter 21, last verse, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And I say amen. There are many more signs that he could have recorded, but he chose only these seven signs in order to show definitely that Jesus is God. Now, before I just go over to my slides, let me prove to you the one text that Jesus is God, the one text that Jesus is worshipped, with reference to the feeding, to the miracle of Jesus giving sight to the blind. Let us look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I want to read this passage to give others the response to this man challenging Christians that Jesus never called himself God, that Jesus never worshipped, was never worshipped. After having healed the blind, born blind, the man born blind, at the end of it, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus was not asking him, do you believe that I am the product of God? Do you believe that I am the Son of God, that I have a mother, as with an ordinary person? No. Jesus was asking, do you believe me as the Son? Who is God? And look at the context. This is what he meant. Verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And I'd like you to draw your attention to another thing. That when the word Lord is used in this connection and in many of the contexts, it is a reference to Jesus as God, not to just as ordinary being. You will remember earlier in chapter 20, when the Lord Jesus Christ had resurrected, he appeared to his disciples. And the disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord, the risen Lord. And to show that this Lord is indeed God, we find that later on when Jesus appeared to Thomas, Thomas was so struck that he acknowledged, my Lord and my God. There it was, my Lord and my God. And so here we read verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. In other words, it is he who is the Son of God. It is he who is God the Son. It is he who is the Lord. And how did he respond? Verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. We have no No need to go to others. He said, show me one verse to prove that Jesus claimed himself as God and that he was worshipped. Here it is. Well, there are many more, as we shall see today, that indeed Jesus is to be worshipped. Jesus is God. So today we deal with Jesus' seven I am statements. When Jesus said, I am, I am, I am, what does it mean? First one, he said, I am the bread of life, the manna. We shall talk about that later on. I'm glad our brother brought it up. Then we go on, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Then John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, any man entering, he shall be saved. Then chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Over this side, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Chapter 14, I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are the branches. Then we go on chapter 15, I am the vine. You are the... Sorry, I missed it up in my hurry. Chapter 14, 4 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then you go on to chapter 15, I am the true vine. You are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and you shall bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so we have the seven I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these seven I ams are very important to prove to you that Jesus is the Son of God. Right, let's go on. The seven I am statements in John's Gospel. Now, before I go on to the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, I must give you an idea of what is implied by the I am. What does it mean when it says I am? Well, the I am would originate from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, when God said, I am that I am to Moses, whom he called to go out, to go and lead Israel out of Egypt from slavery to be free. And he asked the Lord, when I go and see them, what shall I say to them? And God said, this you will say. Say, God said unto me, I am that I am, and I am has sent me unto you. What does it mean when God says, I am that I am? In other words, God's saying, I am God. And who is God? I am. I am that I am. What does I am that I am mean? It can also be translated, I will be that I will be. He is the I will be. He's the I am, he's the I will be. What is implied by that? Well, in Hebrew, it can also mean I am who I am. Literally, it means God is he who is the absolute I. He exists. He is the one who exists from the past, in the present, and into the future. This is proof for us. For example, although the word I am as used in Hebrew are not used here, but the text here tells us the gist of what it says, that there is only one God and one only, and he is the I am that I am. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver me out of my hand. I work. Who will reverse it? No one. He is the only one. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Although this person claims that his God is the only one and there is no other God. But here is God saying firmly, and he's going to prove it, that there is no other God beside him. Here again, Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other I am God. And no other. I am God, and there is none like me, none. Isaiah 48:12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, the one called by me. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. And this is confirmed for us in the New Testament when God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I think I have enough proof to show that God is indeed the I am. He existed in the before the past, in the past, in the present, in the future, and he will exist at the end of time in all eternity. This is the God, our God, the I am. And no other God, so-called claim, can be compared to this God who is the I am. And since this God is the only God, the only I am, and there's no other God, who else can claim to be the I am? Jesus. Jesus claimed to be the I am. Jesus claimed to be the I am. And he, in the Gospels, we read again and again many times, I am. But you may not notice that. Let me prove to you that when Jesus said the I am, he was claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament as well. For example, we read, I am. We have situations where people came to ask him, who are you? We see Jesus, and he said, I am. And in the translation, it is put down there as, I am he. Now, the word he is not found there in the Greek text. Ego eimi. I exist. I am. I have been. He was not trying to identify himself. When he was asked, we seek Jesus. And Jesus asked, whom do you seek? We seek Jesus. Then he said, I am he. Now, that he has been added in by the translators. What he actually said was, I am, as we shall prove as we go on from now onwards. So, what is the meaning of I am? I am, actually, the aimi there means, it is a verb to be, which means to exist. What's a verb to be? Was, am, is, are, has been, will be, had been. All these are verbs to be. In other words, they indicate the past, the present, and the future. All in one. I am. The absolute I that the Lord Jesus is. Now, to show you that indeed Jesus claimed to be the I am, let's see certain incidents which make no sense if you say that it was a case of identifying himself, but rather he was proclaiming his deity and his authority. For example, you remember when he was walking on the sea, and the disciples saw him and they were afraid, and they thought he was a ghost. And in the Bible version, Jesus' answer was translated as, it is, be not afraid, it is I. No, that's a wrong translation. What the Lord Jesus actually said in the Greek was, I am. I am. He was using the very name of God in the Old Testament, I am that I am. He was not identifying himself as the one, Jesus, but he was declaring himself as the I am who had control over the sea, who had control over it so that he could even walk on the sea. That's I am. Let me go on. John chapter 8, verses 23 and 24 would have no meaning if you read what he said. He said, you shall die in your sins if you believe that, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, if it was a matter of identifying himself, if you do not believe that I am he, I am Jesus, that's stupid. First and foremost, they knew that it was Jesus who was speaking. Second, who was Jesus if he were a mere man to be able to say, if you do not believe, you will die in your sins? It makes no sense. Unless he was claiming that he was the I am that I am, then you will die in your sins if you don't believe that he is God. And that's why that our friend, the evangelist, is a sinner, because he does not believe that Jesus is the I am. Again, 8:28, we read, Jesus, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know I am. Translated, I am him, I am he. No, it's I am. Why? I mean, it's not a matter of identity, that when you lift Jesus on the cross, when he's crucified, and you know that that was Jesus. Of course you know that that was Jesus. The Jews clamored, crucify him, crucify him. They want Jesus, they wanted Jesus to be crucified. They did not want Barabbas to be crucified. Of course they knew him. But Jesus said, when you lift him up, then you will know that he is indeed no mere man. He is the I am. And that's what the centurion below him at his cross said. This is a righteous man. John 8:58. Again, it makes no sense if you read these words. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Teachers in school, please don't teach this kind of bad English. Before Jesus was, I am. It should be, before Jesus was, I had been. But how can I am? How could Jesus exist before Abraham so many years ago? But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I had already existed. And so you take another one, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall have the light of life. Four instances, four times in John chapter 8. Chapter 8 of John is a very important chapter to prove the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four times he claimed that he was the I am. If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. When you see the Son of Man lifted up, you will know that I am. He is. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the wrestler. I am the light of the world. And so these four, I am, I am, I am, I am, would prove that Jesus was indeed the I am of the Old Testament. The I am that I am. To prove again that indeed Jesus was claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament, the Jews understood, because the Jews were familiar with the I am of the Old Testament. And what did the Jews do? They asked him, when they accused him of healing the lame man on a Sabbath day. And he said, my Father works and I work. That's why I have the right to do things on the Sabbath day. And they said, who is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father, because my Father and I are one. Then they took up stones to cast at him. What did that signify? That signified that they were accusing Jesus of blasphemy, because he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be the Father. And they took stones to cast at him, to kill him, because that was the punishment given for any blasphemy. But then, was Jesus Christ blaspheming? Earlier, to prove that this is so, in John 5:18, we read, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. What else do we need to prove that Jesus is God than this very text itself? Show me one text that Jesus claimed to be God. Here it is. Jesus is indeed God. He is the great I am. And the Jews could not kill him before the time came. Right. Again, let me go on. He proclaimed prophetically indeed that he was the I am, John 13:19, when Judas was predicted by him that he, Judas, would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am. I am." And sure enough, Judas later on went to betray the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Very interesting section, this John chapter 18, verses 4 to 6. Judas came to Gethsemane, and he told his people, the soldiers, "The one whom I kiss is the one that you seek." And he kissed Jesus. And the people did ask him, earlier, they asked Jesus, that they were seeking Jesus, where was he? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am he." Yeah? He answered him, "They sought Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am." As soon then as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backwards and fell to the ground. I'd like you to note this place. Why did they, the soldiers and all the others, the moment they heard Jesus answering the question, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth," the moment he answered them, "I am," all these people fell backwards. Why? He was not just identifying himself. He was displaying his majesty and perhaps even his glory, so that glory shone out at that very moment, just as on the Mount of Transfiguration. And for that moment, the glory shone out and all those people fell backwards. They didn't fall forwards. They fell backwards because they saw the glory of the Lord and it struck them almost dead. This is the I am. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus claimed, "Before Abraham was, I am." He claimed and he proclaimed, "I am the bread of life." Now, these are the seven statements now. "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." We shall deal with all these in detail. But before we deal with these statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, the I am statement, seven times, not more, not less, that portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ as the great I am of the Old Testament, we shall see first what he said earlier with regard to himself as the tabernacle upon earth. Now let's see. Very interesting. I'm going to prove to you that when the Lord Jesus Christ said or stated the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am, I am, I am," he had perhaps in mind the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Now, that's not strange, because the tabernacle, in a way, could be signs pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Very quickly, let me give you the background. Jesus, indeed, was the living tabernacle. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was given so that we find God asking Israel to make him a sanctuary that he may dwell among them. And we read in John chapter 1, verse 14, "The word became flesh," and according to Young's literal testament, it was translated, "The word became flesh and did tabernacle among men." Now, the most English translations would translate, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us," among men. But that word "dwell" is tabernacle. They have made for me a sanctuary, and I have tabernacle in their midst. The exact words of Exodus 25, verse 8. We regard the Old Testament, the Lord God had come to dwell among the people. He gave them strict instructions. Make me a tabernacle. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in your midst. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among them. And the Greek word for tabernacled, for dwelt among them, is actually the word tabernacle. And so we see the parallel. Thus the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, King James Version. And we read in Exodus, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So Jesus Christ was the living tabernacle of the Old Testament. We beheld, and we also read, after the tabernacle was established, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, in John chapter 1, verse 14. And we read in the Old Testament, then a cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the first point I'd like to establish was this, that Jesus is the living tabernacle. Then he also said something very strange later on when he was questioned as to his deity. He said, this temple, when he was challenged by the Jews, show me a sign that you are indeed God. Then he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. But he spoke of the temple of his body. And the Jews said, we took over 40 years to build this temple. And you say in 3 days you just destroy it? How can that be? But he was referring to the body, the temple of his body. That 3 days it will be destroyed, so to speak. And in 3 days it will be lifted up. The temple was the sanctuary at that time, Herod's temple. But it has a reference to the old tabernacle. That's how Herod's temple was constructed. And so we read, destroy this temple and I will build it up in 3 days. What does that mean? The temple, of course, would be referring to the dwelling of God, as we read in Exodus 26. And that will be the Holy of Holies. That's what he used for the word temple, the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where Jesus, where God would be, where his presence was made known in the Ark of the Covenant and in the mercy seat on top of it. To prevent people from intruding into his presence, a veil was hanged to separate the Holy of Holies from the holy place, so that no one could enter into the Holy of Holies except once a year with blood. Now, the Lord said, I will destroy this temple, referring to his body. And the word destroy actually means to break. And it is the same word used in Ephesians 2:14, where we read, he is our peace who hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition. Broken down the middle wall. And that's what happened to the veil in the temple. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple, we read in Matthew 27:51, was rent into two, from top to bottom, signifying that it was the work of God renting the veil from top to bottom and not from bottom up, which would be a man's work. And it was rent to break, broken open to make the way into his presence. So that we read in Hebrews 10:20, a new and living way was constructed through the will, which is to say his flesh. Now you understand why the will is a symbol of his flesh, because that's when the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was broken, so to speak, And when it was broken, that very moment, the Vilna temple, in a miraculous way, was rent from top to bottom. Oh, yes. I am. This is the wonderful I am statement, first of the I am statement of the Lord. I am the bread of life. Our brother just now referred to the manna. Right. And that was what he was referring to in John chapter 6, verse 35, when he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay. He was referring to the manna that came down from heaven. The pot of manna, the manna later on was preserved in a pot and kept in the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle. So that in the tabernacle, we have got three items. I'm sorry, in the Ark of the Covenant, we have three items, as we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. We had the pot of manna, we had the two tablets of stone of the law, and we had the Aaron's rod that budded. Three items kept in the presence of the Lord. All right? Now, let's see what we can learn from the manna. The manna came from heaven. It was from heaven. But the heavenly manna, of which the Lord Jesus Christ was referred to as himself, I am the bread of life, he came down from heaven. And that's what he came. He came down from heaven, God becoming flesh, in order to be the bread of life to all those who would believe in him. And this bread of life, as it sustained Israel for all the 40 years, so the bread of life would sustain all those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, certain people have misinterpreted this verse and refer this to the Lord's Supper. And is it right? We read John chapter 6, verse 53-54. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And therefore these people claim that when you take the bread and when you drink of the cup, you will be blessed with eternal life. Now that's nonsense. That's not true. Because at that time when the Lord Jesus said these words, definitely he had not instituted the Lord's Supper yet. So what does it mean? Then we have got to look at the context. And earlier verses would say this. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. That is, he that eateth of me, of my flesh. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is, he that drinketh of my cup. Here is the interpretation. There is no need for us to go out of the way to interpret this verse. And so it has no reference at all to the Lord's Supper. Do not be taken up or taken away by such interpretation. All right. Second, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. All right. What does that mean? What does that refer to in the tabernacle? It would refer to the pillar of light. The pillar of light that came upon the tabernacle when the tabernacle was finished. So that that light was a light in the nighttime and a pillar of cloud in the daytime to lead the people on. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life in the night as well as in the day. And so he took not away the pillar of the cloud and by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, did. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And comparing to the Old Testament, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And so we find the Lord as the I am, referring with reference to the light in the at the tabernacle. Thirdly, I am the door of the sheep. And what does that mean? It says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Which part of the tabernacle was he referring to? He was referring to the outer gate of the tabernacle. Now, the outer gate was made up of four materials: blue, white linen, purple, scarlet. Very beautiful, very colorful. And being a curtain, it was closed. But because it was a curtain, it can still be opened very easily. And therefore, I am the door. By me, if any man entering, he shall be saved. Anytime you can go in, when you are prepared to fulfill the conditions of going in. And so, it was wide. Now, this gate that we refer to is wide. Look at it. At the front, the gate at the front is wide. Four pillars held it up. It had a measurement of 20 by 5. 20 cubits wide, 5 cubits high. Why is that important? I shall explain that later on. But remember, please, 20 cubits wide, 5 cubits. In other words, the emphasis is on the width. And the Lord said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 36. 4. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As you enter the door, the outer gate, the first item you come across will be the altar, the brazen altar. And that's where the sheep would be, and the goat and the bullock would be sacrificed as an offering unto the Lord. So, the sheep on the altar would, of course, point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And so you see this connection, that as you pass through the outer gate, you come to the altar. And as you are to enter, to come into blessing, to eternal blessing, the first condition is you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who shed his blood for you. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Right. Fifthly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what's the way? The way would be from the outer gate, right through, pass by the altar, the laver, through the door of the tent, right through the veil, and then into the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. The way. I am the way. So, you must accept the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, to go into the very presence of God. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The truth would be the labor. We read Ephesians 5:26 of the labor of truth. The word washing of water actually is the laver. And so we find that after sacrifice, you must be cleansed. Then you go enter into the very presence of God. At the very end of it, right through to the end, and there you get where you have all the three items to be kept in the Ark of the Covenant. The law, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life, we shall find that in that Ark of the Covenant, we have Aaron's rod that budded. We shall talk about that as we go on. The life. The life would be let me just, because of time, I'm trying to hurry. The way, the truth, and the life would mean a person coming to the outer gate. The gate is wide and open. You can open it. You pass through, and the first thing you have got to accept is the fact of sacrifice. And that's where you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb that was sacrificed for us. And with that, you come onto the labor, and that's where your sins can be washed and cleansed. And then after that, you go into the tabernacle proper, through the door of the tent, and that's where you go into service. Now, allow you to note, please, here at this point. Right. Okay, I'm sorry about this. What I'm trying to pass on to you is that the end of it all will be where you see the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant, where the priest would take the blood and sprinkle onto the Ark of the mercy seat, and then only can you have life. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross. And very quickly, because of time, sixthly, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. Now, that would refer to Aaron's rod that budded. Now, what happened? The people were against Moses and against especially Aaron, who was appointed to be the high priest. They say it's not fair. And it should be one of the leaders as well. And so the leaders complained, and God said, all right, every leader, every one of the 12 leaders of Israel, let him take upon himself a rod, a dead rod, surrender it to Moses, and Moses would put the red rod in the holy place. You know, behold the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi, and let's see what happened. Put all the 12 rods in the tabernacle, and then the one that was chosen by God would be the rod belonging to the person whom God has appointed. And only one rod budded, and that was the rod of Aaron. So, indicating that God's choice was Aaron. Now, that will refer again, and that rod, after that time, was put into the Ark of the Covenant as a preservation for future generations. Aaron, therefore, was confirmed as the high priest. And that would point to the Lord Jesus Christ also, who would be our high priest, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Therefore, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Finally, we end with the last statement. I am the true vine. John 15:1-5. Now, which item of furniture would this compare with? Well, I would suggest that it will compare with the lampstand, because the lampstand has got a stand with 7 branches spring out from the main stem. Make a lampstand out of pure hammered gold. The lampstand with all these utensils to be made from what, 75 pounds of pure gold. Now, what's so wonderful about it? It says that the lampstand with its branches The branches are not to be grafted into the main stem. The branches are to be crafted out from one lump of gold. 75 pounds of gold, solid gold, pure gold. And then from there, the craftsman would slowly craft in the branches and the various parts of the lampstand. And that should remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him shall bear much fruit. What does that mean? That the branches that are from the main branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, are not grafted in, but they spring out as part and parcel of that main stem, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that abideth in me and I in him, having one life together, shall bear forth much fruit. Six branches are to extend from its sides, all of it to be from a single hammered piece of pure gold. Same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The various flowers, the buds and decorations on the branches, all these must be slowly crafted in and not grafted inside. And this is the beauty of the lampstand. I am the vine, you are the branches. You abide in me and I in you, you shall bear forth much fruit. See the beauty of the of the decorations that were crafted into from that one piece of gold. Yeah, I'm the true vine. And on top of the branches are the lambs. And the lambs have to be trimmed now and then. There will be the snuffers and the various scissors and so on to trim the lambs. And as we read in John chapter 15, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so we see Christ fulfilling in his statement, I am the vine, the lampstand in the tabernacle. Now, when God was giving instructions concerning the construction of the tabernacle, he gave very strict instructions to Moses that you must be careful to make them according to the pattern you have been shown on the mountain. Nothing must be altered because they were all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Hence, we now complete with this. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing, you might have life through his name. Our friend challenged us for one verse to prove that Jesus is God. We have more than one verse to prove that Jesus is indeed God. All right, with this I finish. It has been quite a hurried through, but if you need to have time to go through it all over again, you visit my website. The notes are there. The PowerPoint presentation is there. And you can hear me all over again. Thank you very much, and the Lord bless. Thank you.